Good morning. I would like to just jump right into the Word this morning. Hopefully you all will bear with me. It's a little long text I selected. Comes from Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 20. And hopefully we'll be able to dig in and make a little sense of that here as we go. Listen to the scripture. This entire command that I command you today must diligently observe, so that you may live and increase and go in and occupy the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember the long way that your Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell for these 40 years. Know when in your heart that as a parent disciplined a child, so the Lord your God disciplined you. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters, welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. If you do not forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall perish. Like the nations that the Lord is destroying before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. I was so glad when I walked in here today that the music was covered, because the last time I was here, there were some orders of worship that Josh had prepared that said Baby Sunday 1 and Baby Sunday 2, and I was like, please don't let my Sunday be a baby Sunday. And then when I heard that the baby was born, I was like, please don't let them ask me to lead the music, and I'm so thankful that this church has such great talents and gifts in here, and that thank you for sharing today. So this coming Tuesday, we're going to celebrate Independence Day. Now, it is a day we're supposed to stop and remember and reflect on why America is so great. So I've been thinking about that. I mean, why is America so great? Because when you stop to think about it, only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. Only in America do we leave cars worth tens of thousands of dollars in our driveways and put junk in our garages. Only in America do we use voicemail answering machines and caller ID to screen calls, and yet we have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. And only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy cigarettes at the front door. Now, I'm not really sure any of that is what makes America great. As a matter of fact, I think that many of us have gotten so wrapped up in our own little worlds that we forget. We forget what makes us great. And looking at the scripture I read today, I don't know if you caught on, but our story is not that different than the early Israelite story. So if we look at the timeline, it's now approximately 3,400 years since a 120-year-old leader stood before his people and delivered a series of messages as they were preparing to enter into the Promised Land. They had survived 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and were finally on the verge of entering this new land that they had been promised. It was a land where they were going to be free to worship their God. And so just as they're getting ready to step into this land, right, Moses essentially preaches a sermon reminding the people to not give in to the temptations that they might encounter, which would lead them to failure. The conclusion he gives the people is sharp and decisive. If you forget, you will truly perish. The words Moses spoke couldn't have been any clearer. The message and the lesson he was teaching to the people were obvious. First, he said, maintain an attitude of gratitude. Bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given to you. Second, he reminded them, do not forget where you come from. Do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Third, he tells them, God freed you, protected you, and provided for you. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna. And finally, the big warning, like if he was preaching, there would be lights flashing and everything. He said, beware of taking credit. Do not say to yourself, my power and might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Now, as you read through these 20 verses, there's two absolutely critical phrases that come throughout Moses' last words to Israel. Do not forget the Lord, and remember the Lord your God. And the key lesson in this scripture is this: the greatest danger of prosperity and freedom is to forget the God who made that prosperity and freedom possible. Everybody okay today? Because guess what? America's not that different. At a prayer breakfast at Congress one time, Billy Graham, he said he believed that there were many times in history, especially in the history of America, when certain men stood for God in the same manner that Moses did and actually changed the course of our history. So with that in mind, let us go back to the first Constitutional Convention, where the delegates were burdened with the pressure of hammering out a constitution. they were exhausted because they just couldn't come to agreement and find ways to figure out our new government's precepts. These men were so frustrated at not being able to agree on the Constitution, they were all but ready to give in and walk away. But it was during this upheaval of spirit that one older man with white hair stood up, calm and deliberate, much like Moses did years ago. And that man was Benjamin Franklin. And this is what he said. "Gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek his face." And after he spoke these words, these group of men did something that would cause many legal challenges today, because they immediately put down their pens and they all got on their knees in prayer. And when they got back up, the slogan "E Pluribus Unum" was born. One out of many. There's a really important lesson to be learned from Israel's tragic journey. They escaped from slavery, gained a land of milk and honey, and then lost it because the words of Moses we read today went in the ears of one generation and out the next. There is also a strong lesson for us to be learned from our founding fathers, who so long ago realized the importance of relying on God to seek the answers they needed. But as Americans, we've forgotten where the founders who led our country early on turned for answers. Can you imagine if today's Congress would adopt this practice? But let's be realistic, it would never happen because the chaplains in Congress that lead prayers today have purposely left out the name of God in what they claim to be prayers. And you know, here in America, we've been leading a pretty good life. They used to call it what? The Life of Riley? And they had even wrote a song about it that said, "Everything's going my way." But my question today is it? Because we have led this life for so long, we have been taking it for granted. But, as Moses said, life is not a guarantee of all good things, is it? Sometimes we find that life offers us some very hard realities that we just can't seem to cope with. In our everyday lives, we have forgotten to seek God's face. Why is it here in America it takes something like December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor Day, November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of President Kennedy, September 11th, 2001? Why is it takes things like this for us to remember and to seek out God? You see, like the early Israelites, we have forgotten the words of our founders just as they've forgotten the words of Moses. They have gone in the ears of one generation and out the next. And it's not until a tragedy hits or we suffer a serious loss that we as a nation turn back to God. There was a writer one time that penned this: "What a sad pity that this earth, so full of the proofs of God's goodness, should be so empty and void of his praises. And with all the multitudes who live upon his bounties, there are so very few who live for his glory." Throughout scriptures, we are told we are to worship God and God alone. Instead, we have begun to follow and serve other gods. We worship our money. We worship our homes. We worship our cars. We worship Hollywood actors, we worship sports heroes, we worship political figures. We have created so many gods and have started to rely on them rather than on the one true God that our story is beginning to sound a lot like ancient Israel, isn't it? Now, if you don't hear anything else I have to say prior to this or after this, I need you to listen to this. God has not changed since the days of old. So why are we so intent on trying to change the world ourselves and not relying on Him to change it? Why is it that we want God to change everything for us, making the world the way we want it, instead of us being willing to change for God and the way God wants the world He created? You know, history tells us that we learn from past mistakes. That being the case, then, let us remember that Greece built a society on culture, and it failed. Rome built her society on military power, and guess what? It failed. You see, the nation that survives is not the nation with power, not the nation with military might, not the nation with all the intellect, nor the nation with all the wealth, but it's the nation whose God is Lord. I don't know how many of you remember back in 2005 when the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on the Ten Commandments. Does anybody remember that? Anyway, this ruling at that time was so far removed from the way our founders would have ruled. And to show you how far this country's gotten away from God, in one split decision, they ruled that it was illegal to display the Ten Commandments on government property. In the other, they ruled that it was okay because of its historical significance. And guess what? They did this while the Ten Commandments are publicly displayed in their courtroom. You see anything wrong here? You know, I remember when I heard that decision, and I was like, man, I just want to write these people a letter, these justices a letter. I want them to know something. I was like, I've got news for these people. And you know what? It still stands true today for the current justices or for anyone in our government who thinks along those same lines. And my message for them is this. We can't have it both ways. You cannot rule against God. Either God is a driving force in your life and in this country, or He isn't any kind of force at all. Since that day, we have become a nation who is quickly forcing God out of our lives. And to see what's in store for us, all we have to do is go to 2 Chronicles and read what happened to Israel during King Asa's reign. And not to bore you with another history lesson, but real quickly, a man by the name of Azariah went to meet King Asa, and as he was returning home from battle, and told him that the Lord would stay with him as long as Asa would stay with him. But if Asa turned his back on the Lord would forsake him. Well, the Lord gives us that same promise today. If we forsake Him, He will forsake us. And I think America's done a pretty good job in the last 247 years of forsaking God, don't you? In most presidential inaugurations, and I say most, not all, they have the Bible open to a particular verse. And while most presidents can pick whatever verse is important to them, more often than not, the verse that's been open to is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it reads, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. In Psalm 33:12, it states, "Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." You see, a nation without God is a nation in moral decay. A nation without God is a nation of internal fighting. And a nation without God is a nation without any hope. But a nation with God is a nation kept safe. A nation with God is a nation that walks in promise. A nation with God is a nation who gives praises to our God and to Him alone. So today, as we prepare to celebrate Independence Day on Tuesday and think back of all the changes that have taken place since the founding of this country, and of all the changes that have taken place since the days of our founding fathers, let us remember who we are truly dependent on. And let us remember from whom our freedom truly comes. And while doing that, let us not forget to praise His holy name. Amen.
So much for being here with us today, and thank you for the message that God put on your heart. And I hope that you'll stay and go to the Bible study that's next. And hopefully next week, Josh will be back for this is baby week 3, as he was saying. So we're hoping Josh will be back next week. Thank you all for being here, and keep the Lord in your heart and think about where we're going and the decisions that you make every day. Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you.